Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Kayla is now illegal in Germany. The founder of a Florida marketing firm who used illicit tactics to send spam email has been sent to jail. Bill Gates thinks the government should tax the robots who take the jobs of human workers. February's critical update to Microsoft Windows has been delayed despite its urgency. And using machine learning, Google's Project Loon is moving quickly to bringing internet services to areas where it was previously unavailable. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Now here's another great way you can support the shows you love from the Category5.tv network by shopping at GearBest.
That's right, Jeff. Cat5.tv/GearBest. It's an online store for the geek streak in you.
Or the loved ones.
Well, of course. I mean, especially your loved ones, right? Because Cat5.tv/GearBest, quite frankly, has all of the greatest tech gifts that you could ever hope for at rock-bottom prices.
Do they have cell phones?
You betcha. Cat5.tv/GearBest has a wide assortment of unlocked Android cell phones and tablets.
What about consumer electronics? Those make a great gift.
Absolutely. From high-tech watches to action cameras, headphones, even virtual reality headsets. Cat5.tv/GearBest has you covered. They literally have it all, Jeff. Literally.
Really?
It's like a superstore right from the comfort of your own chair at your computer through the interweb.
Yeah, there's no way they have it all.
It's true.
It's just a bunch of random electronics.
Test me.
What about clothes?
Yep, both men and women, fashionable apparel at rock bottom super duper prices.
Kind of like this?
Well, look at this coat. What do you think? It's a slimming mock leather jacket.
I love it.
It's available for less than $30 plus free shipping at cat5.tv/gearbest.
All right. You kind of got me there.
Wow. Any other questions for me, Jeff?
Now that the winter has passed, flying season, do they have any good deals on, say, drone copters?
Oh, my goodness. Well, check this out. Dude, they have everything. Check out over 500 various drones. And not only that, they're available marked down by about 30 to up to 63% off the regular price.
Love it. What's the website again?
Well, you're going to find GearBest on our partners' pages for any of your favorite Category 5 TV shows, like New Every Day, Category 5 Technology TV, The Pixel Shadow. But of course, if you want to shop absolutely right now and you want to go straight to the site, all you have to do is visit cat5.tv/GearBest.
See, that's easy. Cat5.tv/GearBest.
That's right. Happy shopping.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of February 22nd, 2017. Remember the Kayla doll we reported on during episode 481? Well, it's now illegal in Germany to sell the talking doll, and that's just the beginning. A German government watchdog has ordered parents to destroy the internet-connected doll for fear it could be used as a surveillance device. According to a report from the BBC News, the German Federal Network Agency said the doll, which contains a microphone and speaker, was equivalent to a concealed transmitting device and therefore prohibited under German telecom law. In December last year, privacy advocates said that the toy recorded kids' conversations without proper consent, violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. Thank goodness for them. The act themselves. Kayla uses a microphone to listen to questions, sending this audio over Wi-Fi to a third-party company that converts it to text. This is then used to search the internet, allowing the doll to answer basic questions like, what's a baby kangaroo called, as well as play games. In addition to privacy concerns over data collection, security researchers found that Kayla can easily be hacked. The doll's insecure Bluetooth connection can be compromised, letting a third party record audio via the toy or even speak to children using its voice.
Ooh.
So bad. The Electronic Privacy Information Center has said that toys like this subject young children to ongoing surveillance without any meaningful data protection standards. One researcher pointed out that the doll was accessible from up to 33 feet away, even through walls, using a Bluetooth-enabled device. There is nothing scarier than the the imagined threat, not even imagined threat, the real threat that your children could be, like, talked to from somebody.
And this doll has its own voice.
I almost think like of a Chucky or something out of Child's Play, you know?
I was going to say, at least it's this doll's voice and not like the voice of Lucifer.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Because that would, you know, yeah.
And but, how sweet and innocent are children? They'd probably like offer up any amount of information to a doll that was talking to it.
That's scary point. Yeah,
it's like, are your parents home? Do you have a dog? Yeah. Things like that, right? So it can be very scary.
I want you to watch the code that mommy puts into the, you know, the pin card thing. There's four numbers. You remember them and tell them to me later, you know?
Oh, I hope
you
not.
You know, stuff like
I
that.
I hope not.
Well, at least there's laws against this now.
At least this one has been caught. I mean, like, when I was a kid, I had Bingo the Bear. And there was Teddy Ruxpin. And there
I
were
had
all
Teddy
these.
Ruxpin.
Yeah. And Bingo was like the knockoff.
Oh, okay.
It was like the, you know, and I loved it. I had that thing for years. Me being the little hacker that I was, I built an AC converter for it and made it so I could plug it into the wall because I was tired of the batteries getting run out. Here I am, like, the size of my youngest
Just
son.
Bring the wall everywhere with you and you're okay. Yeah. Portable walls.
But they were so benign and so innocent because, like, you'd squeeze his mouth and he would say... Mm-hmm. Pre-recorded sayings.
Yeah.
Well, it's pre-networked, though, right?
That was it. There was no Wi-Fi. There was no Bluetooth.
Right.
Exactly.
There was no artificial intelligence, or even, you know, text-to-speech was like Dr. Spatzo back then. It was not anywhere near where we are now. So, if they can type in things, that's a scary thing. So, I'm waiting for all those videos to hit YouTube of people blowing up their Kayla dolls.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Slow-mo. The slow-mo guy is just...
Yes. Fantastic.
Wow. Okay. A marketer who used stolen email accounts to collect more than $1 million by spamming people has been sent to prison for 4 years. Timothy Livingston, who's 31, was handed the 48-month term after he pleaded guilty to counts of conspiracy to commit fraud in connection with computers and access devices, conspiracy to commit fraud in connection with electronic mail, and aggravated identity theft. The sentence was handed out on Thursday by Judge William J. Martini in the New Jersey District Court, where Livingston pled guilty to the charges last year. Based in Boca Raton, Livingston ran and operated a marketing company called A Whole Lot of Nothing, LLC, which specializes in sending out bulk emails for clients. The U.S. Department of Justice said Livingston's clients included legitimate businesses, such as insurance companies that wished to send bulk emails to advertise their businesses, as well as illegal entities, such as online pharmacies that sold narcotics without prescriptions. What the clients did not know or chose not to ask was how Livingston was able to send out so many emails. The marketer had an arsenal of botnet-controlled accounts and compromised servers he used to help send out the spam runs without being identified or detected by spam filters. He would then collect a commission every time one of his junk mail messages was converted to a sale. Livingston's co-defendant, Tomas Shemelrez of New Jersey, also admitted writing the malware used to infect and control the botnets. By the time Livingston was finally caught, it is estimated his spamming network was able to rack up around $1.35 million in ill-gotten gains. He will have to forfeit all of that as part of his plea deal.
Oh.
Well, I would hope.
Yeah. Touché.
This is one of those scary, people are smart and... Mm.
This is a business
like,
that appeared like a legitimate business.
Except that it was called All About Nothing.
Hmm.
But, you know, but it appeared legitimate and lots of legitimate people.
It's a marketing name.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Flashy signs, gets them every time.
Right.
Billions of emails.
And obviously it had enough allure that people who were legitimate businesses and also illegitimate businesses felt equally comfortable using him, right?
Yeah.
So...
Mm.
I don't know. Okay. Bill Gates, the co-founder of Microsoft and the world's richest man, said in an interview Friday that robots that steal human jobs should pay their fair share of taxes. right now, the human worker who does, say, $50,000 worth of work in a factory, that income is taxed, and you get income tax, social security tax, and all of those things, he said. If a robot comes in to do the same thing, you'd think that we'd tax the robot at a similar level.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Gates made the remark during an interview with Quartz. He said robot taxes could help fund projects like caring for the elderly or working with children in school. Quartz reported that European Union lawmakers considered a proposal to tax robots in the past, and the law was rejected.
Isn't that interesting?
I would think that by taxing the robots, you'd be taxing the people who own the robots.
But at the same time, where do you draw the line, though? Because it's like, are you going to tax like an autopilot on an airplane? Are you going to tax Siri? Or are you only going to tax certain industries? Or like,
right.
How's that going to
work?
So
the ones that replace the humans, but until what point? Like, are they taxing the ATM? Because it replaces.
So is he thinking humanoid?
So like androids. Movement. So like, I can think of like in a car plant, for example, like the robots putting on doors and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, because like, you know, the auto industry is a big thing right now in politics and all that stuff. But it's like,
how do you gauge it?
Like, realistically, where do you draw the line? Like,
and how do you gauge it? How do you say X number of jobs have been replaced? When, especially when you think about the transition of industry and how industry is going to make the transition to robotics as operators and manufacturers. And these jobs that are being created for these robots never existed for humans because it didn't exist yet.
Right. I mean, there's the job of making the robots, and there's the job of the maintenance of the robots.
Yeah.
Right? There's jobs that the robots create, not only just take away.
Sure.
But I can't imagine what they're saying is that the taxes would then have to be paid by the owners of the robots.
Yeah.
Right? So then the owner of the robot is paying their taxes.
It's a neat idea.
But yeah, it's a neat idea as far as
interesting
raising money.
Idea.
It is.
It
seems like a really slippery slope. Because again, it's you have to define how you want to do it. Like again, are you going to tax Cortana for being on your computer for helping you out scheduling? Well, Cortana, I don't mind.
Bad example.
I don't
anything Microsoft,
but yeah, I'm okay with Siri. I'm a Mac guy, but
I understand taxes are fairly unavoidable. But I feel like being a robot should get you a pass on that.
Poor R2-D2 though. He saved so many people, and you're gonna tax R2-D2 and C-3PO now.
Right.
I mean, like, they've helped save the galaxy a few dozen times, and now we're going to be charging tax.
Right.
Same with Data from Star Trek.
Right, and are they taxing... Okay, so they're saying that it's a robot that's replaced a human that was making $50,000 a year, but then if the robot's running 24 hours a day, whereas the human was running 10 hours a day, well, now are they all of a sudden going to inflate that and ask for more tax?
Where does that come from?
Yeah.
But I guess they're manufacturing the same amount of or more stuff. So, but you mentioned Data, but Data in the show did kind of operate like a human, but we're nowhere near that. Our jobs are not going to be replaced by Data-like androids.
Knock on wood.
Anytime soon. I mean, Bill Gates famously said we only need 640K high memory, but, you know.
There you go.
So we're bound to be wrong eventually, but yeah.
Bill Gates might be wrong on this one.
Yeah. Speaking of Bill Gates, his company Microsoft.
Okay, so this is something that he's wrong about. There we go.
Well, he's one of the founders, but he's not really in charge anymore.
Right. Sold it off or something, right?
Microsoft has delayed the release of a security update that would have fixed a vulnerability cyber thieves are known to be exploiting. The fix was to be released as part of Microsoft's regular monthly security update for its Windows software. In a blog, it said a last-minute issue had got in the way of the updates being sent out as usual. The delay is thought to be related to changes Microsoft was due to make to the way updates were delivered. The February update was scheduled to include a patch for a problem with a part of Windows that handles particular types of file transfers. The bug was first reported to Microsoft in September, and code to exploit it is believed to be available to malicious hackers. The flaw is present in most versions of Windows and could leave users open to attacks that let hackers crash vulnerable machines. Microsoft has already delayed releasing the file transfer fix because it wanted to include it with other updates for the same Windows subsystem that it previously planned for February. February was also when Microsoft was due to break its security fixes into two, one for Windows and the other for its browsers. Getting the separation and testing systems to work reliably is believed to have caused the delay. No date has been given for when the delayed update will be delivered. Does that just mean that people are still free to go ahead and exploit right now?
Yeah, technically.
Right.
Yeah, if they're if it's active in the wild, then I guess the fix isn't out there, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Never released
it. They've got to do it soon, though. I mean, but one commenter was like, "Well, it's typical Microsoft style. Once they know a bug is out in the wild, they wait 2 years and then they patch it."
That's right.
Hmm.
Ugh. Okay. In better news, researchers at Google say that they are years closer to rolling out a network of huge balloons to provide connectivity to rural areas. The Project Loon team, part of the company's X Research Lab, said that it was now able to use machine learning to predict weather systems. It means the firm has far greater control over where its balloons go, making it possible to focus on a specific region rather than circumnavigating the globe. Clustering a small number of balloons greatly reduces the cost of the idea, Google's captain of moonshots, Astro Teller, told reporters. He says, "We can now run an experiment and try to give service in a particular place in the world with 10, 20, or 30 balloons," he said, "rather than the hundreds needed previously."
Wow.
That's incredible. Real users will be able to use the system in the coming months, he added, but he did not specify where the initial rollout would take place. Finally, a little bright spot in the newsroom. Oh, that is great. So connectivity, like, in places that just would never otherwise get
it. You think of, like, third world countries and things like that. Yeah, and that's where our mind immediately goes.
At the same time, though, is that, like, being a pilot myself, I ask, at what altitude? Like, are these, like, very high altitude?
Yeah, you don't
want to
run into one.
50,000 feet above airliners? Because if they're 20,000 feet, that's below airliners and stuff. So it's like, I don't want to be flying around and, hey, no. Giant...
It's going to be way up there where you can't fly.
So it has to be like,
sure.
Yeah, in the stratosphere. Yeah, and just up
for
there.
For sure. I think about, and we've had this discussion before, I believe, but think about areas that are ravaged by some kind of natural disaster.
Right.
Something like that where infrastructure goes down.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden now our cell phones and our internet no longer works where we are. So we can put these up, and if it only takes 8 or 10 of these balloons... And all of a sudden, infrastructure is at least in some way, shape, or form back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, emergency calls can go out, communications restored.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it.
Very cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.